Marlis Kaiser stepped from her kitchen onto the porch as she heard the thumping sound of a helicopter approaching her farm outside Monticello, Minnesota. She greeted her visitors, Pitt, Giordino, and Kelly, and invited them inside. "Father never explained his interest in runestone inscriptions," Kelly explained. "Mother and I went along on his excursions to find them, but we were more interested in the fun of camping and hiking than searching for old rocks with writing on them." Dr. Egan's library was filled with books on Vikings, but didn't have any of his notes and reports, added Pitt. "Norsemen, Mr. Pitt," Marlis corrected him. "Viking is a term for sea-roving raiders who were fearless and fierce in battle. Centuries later, they probably would have been called pirates or buccaneers. The Viking Age was launched when they raided the Lindisfarne Monastery in England in 793. From 800 on, Viking fleets roamed throughout Europe and the Mediterranean. Their reign was short and their power faded by the 13th century. "Any idea why so many Norse rune stones have been found around the Midwest?" inquired Giordino. "Norse sagas tell of the seafaring people of Iceland and Greenland who tried to colonize the northeast coast of the United States around 1000 AD. We must assume they launched expeditions of exploration into our heartland. They could have used the inland river systems to explore vast regions of the country, as indicated by the stones with runic inscriptions they left behind," offered Giordino. "As I told you over the phone," said Pitt, "we are investigating Kelly's father's fascination with a series of runestones he discovered and studied 15 years ago. Dr. Egan's studies concerned a series of 35 inscriptions that told of a group of Norsemen who explored the Midwest in 1035 AD, Marlis said. "I recall he was obsessed with the inscriptions in the hope they would lead him to a cave. Where, I have no idea." "Do you have any records of them?" Marlis clapped her hands. "This is your lucky day. Come out to my office in the barn where I have them filed away." What was once a barn built for a dairy herd had been converted into a giant office. One side of the spacious room was filled with artifacts, ceramic bowls shaped into pots, human heads and figures, and animals. At least 100 smaller artifacts were preserved in a great glass case. After searching, Marlis laid down a photograph of a large inscribed rock. She was standing next to it for perspective. "This is the Bertram Stone, found by a hunter in 1933 on the other side of the lake behind the farm." Then she went to a tall cabinet and removed a plaster mold she had made of the stone. "How do you know the writing stone isn't fake?" The question came from Giordino, a worldly skeptic. "A number of reasons," Marlis answered sweetly. "One, police forgery experts have examined several of the stones and unanimously agreed that the carved inscriptions were made by the same hand. All characteristics are identical. Two, who would travel 2,000 miles around the country carving runic inscriptions about a Norse exploration expedition if it never happened? For what purpose? Also, if they were fake, they were made by someone who was a master of the language and alphabet, as attested to by modern experts on runology, who found no incorrect variations in the letters. Three, the Bertram runestone was first discovered, according to local historians, by a tribe of Ojibwans who told early settlers about it in 1820. It was next recorded by French fur trappers. It seems extremely unlikely that someone else carved the stones long before the area was settled. And finally, four, although carbon dating analysis only works with organic materials and not with stone, the only method to judge aging is to study the amount of erosion on the rock over the years. Judging from the wear and tear on the rock from wind, rain, and snow, the letters were dated between 1000 and 1150 AD, which seems reasonable.
"Here's the million-dollar question," Giordino asked Marlis. "What does the stone say?"
Marlis took a CD disc and inserted it in her terminal. In a moment, the letters were revealed in great detail on the monitor. There were four lines of almost 30 letters. "We may never have a totally accurate translation," she said, "but six runologists from here in Scandinavia agree that the inscription reads, Magnus Sigvardsson, passed this way in year 1035 and claimed the lands this side of the river for his brother, Bjarn Sigvitsson, leader of our tribe, Helgen Sigtrygg, murdered by Skraelings. Skraelings translates to barbarians or lazy heathen, or in the old vernacular, wretches. We must assume that Sigtrygg was killed during a clash with local native Indians, the early ancestors of the Sioux and Ojibwe.